Welcome to Super Tati's for Parshas Toldos. Let's start with some stories. There's some beautiful stories this week that I came across. The first one I heard from Rav Aaron Feldman, a visit in Baltimore this past week. So there's a story talking about how difficult it is, obviously, how much weighs on people to send a child out of a yeshiva or a day school. There was a Rebbe who had a Talmud who was just so disturbing. They were really taking down the other students in class, and they were making it unable for the other students to really study. So it got to a certain point where the Rebbe decided that having this person in class was going to be so terribly detrimental for the other students that it was time to let them go. So what they did was they always wanted to ask a question to the Chazon Ish. So he went to the Chazon Ish and he said, listen, we have this student. They're disturbing everybody else. The other students aren't able to learn. Can I have your permission to kick this student out? And the Chazon Ish said, no. You mean no? I mean, you know you shouldn't kick this student out. You've got to keep the kid in proper chinuch. So what happened was the Rebbe said, if that's really true, then I have to retire. This is just, it's impossible. It's untenable. It's something that I just can't do. So the Chazon Ish said, okay, I'll go teach your class instead of you. So the next day, the Chazon Ish went to go teach the class, and he taught it for a day. And at the end of the day, he went back to the Rebbe's house. He said, listen, I understand that you're retired now. The truth is, I'm teaching a class. I'm an old man. And I was wondering if you might want to consider helping me out, because it's just too hard for me. Would you consider being my substitute teacher? And that was the upshot. So Chazon Ish had to be respectful, but still stick with his principles. And that was the way that the story went down. The next story is a story about Rabbi Yechezkel Sarna. And this is a little bit of a twist. There was a Baal Tokeya, a person who would blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And he was getting very, very old. And, you know, Baal Tokeya has to have the strength and the air and all the coordination and everything else to be able to perform on Rosh Hashanah. And as they were getting more and more mature, it became more and more physically difficult for them. So they went to Rabbi Sarna and they said, listen, I think it might be time for me to retire from this position. I trust that there are, you know, many, many other people who will be able to fulfill this duty. So, do you think it would be okay for me to discontinue? And Rabbi Sarna responded to him and said the following. He said, listen, I'm going to respond to you the way that the Guru Rebbe responded when he had a similar situation. He said, the truth is, I have many, many people who can blow air through a shofar. Many, many people who have that physical ability. But what I need is a Baal Tokeya with a peh noki. I need somebody who has a clean mouth, meaning to say the way that they speak is clean, and those are much harder to come by. You have that quality, and I need you. Third story is a story about the Altar Mislabodka. There's something about this story that really, really touches me. First we had a beautiful idea about not kicking somebody out of yeshiva, but yet being very, very respectful and the importance of chinuch. The second one is an idea about how important it is to be thoughtful about the way we speak and careful about the way we speak. This third one is a beautiful bein adam l'chaveru in a different direction. The Altar Slabodka was involved in some medical testing. And they had to go through a physical exam, and part of that physical exam included, some of the normal stuff, take your blood, take this, take that. And finally, the doctor looked at him and said, open up your mouth and say, ah, you know, the usual thing. They stick the wooden stick on your tongue and the whole thing. He said, so stick out your tongue. And the Altar Slabodka wouldn't do it. He said, I need you to stick out your tongue so I can look in your throat. You could see the Altar Slabodka trying to stick his tongue in all kinds of different places, but would not extend his tongue out of his mouth. Why don't you stick out your tongue? and the altar of Slobodka stopped. He said, I can't stick out my tongue at somebody who is a Tzelem Elohim. You are made in the image of God. I'm not sticking out my tongue at you. And I think that the level of sensitivity that came into this particular instance is something that I'm just bedazzled by, because what's happening here is he's not, you know, sticking out your tongue only, you know, it can connote a level of disrespect. But in this instance, it was just obedience. And still, the altar of Slobodka was very, very hesitant to do such a thing. So I thought that that was very, very instructive. Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, story number 4, about his respect for his parents and Kibud Hurim. So now we have Tzelem Elohim. Now we have one about Kibud Hurim. So when he and his, he had a lot of respect, and obviously a lot of diktuk for mitzvos. There was a story that, like, when his father couldn't climb certain areas, when I believe when they were leaving where they were in Europe, and he would go over and he would lay down so his father could step on him. And he was very, very attentive. He was around all the time for his father. But yet, when his father did pass away, he was very, very concerned that he didn't fully discharge his duties as far as Kibud Avim was concerned. So he went to the Chafetz Chaim for some nechama. And the Chafetz Chaim didn't say what everybody thought he was going to say. Oh, don't worry, you fulfilled your duties above and beyond. You did everything you needed to do. How could somebody else have done any more? Who could expect more than this? You know, he didn't say any of that. Instead, he talked about the power of tshuva. And tshuva can change somebody into a new being. And a birei chadasha and whatnot. And there's a subsequent story, that there was a Rosh Hashanah during the break where Rav Baruch Ber stopped and said, oh, the Chafetz Chaim has renewed my soul. He brought me back to life here, because he was still holding on to those ideas of tshuva. And that was a big chizik for him. One more story about him in Kibud Hurim is that he was sitting at, it must have been a Shabbos table, and he had people sitting and talking with him and learning, and his mother-in-law was there present listening, or trying to listen, and he overheard her say to another family member, if I were younger, I'd move closer, because this Torah gives me such sipuka nefesh, it's so great for me to hear, it gives me such pleasure. So when he heard his mother-in-law say that, and she said she couldn't move, Rav Baruch Ber moved to her, so she could just hear the kol Torah, which is a beautiful thought. Now, a couple interesting ideas. The first one is a beautiful idea from Moshe Soloveitchik. We see Esav referred to as an Ish Sada in Perek Chaf Hei Chaf Zayin. And Rashi there says Adam Batel. A very, very interesting idea. And a great thought nugget from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik is that if a person is busy, they are moving at lightning speed their entire life, but they're not doing Ratzon Hashem, there's still an Adam Batel. They're wasting their time. Meaning to say, everybody is created with a tafkid, with a purpose. And when we are not, when we're not connecting with that tafkid, fundamentally we are wasting. This is not terribly dissimilar to the halacha that is stated on Rosh Hashanah, that a Yoshev Batel, a person not doing anything, is considered like they're sleeping. So we need to live our lives awake. Next idea, same pasuk, right? We see a juxtaposition between Yaakov and Esav, where Esav is referred to an ish yodea tzaid, a man who knows how to trap, ish asada, a man of the field. And Yaakov is referred to as an ish tam yoshev ohalim, that he is a simple man who sits in tents. Why is it that Esav is referred to as a person who knows how to trap, whereas Yaakov is just sitting in tents as opposed to somebody who knows Torah. And beautiful idea from the Shevet Levi, Rav Vosner. He says that there is a fundamental difference between Torah and everything else. When it comes to Torah, our job is hishtadlus, is tircha, is amelus. We need to toil in Torah. It's not about the results. Everything else, if I hire a mechanic, he works for 10 hours on my car, and he doesn't get anything done, then he doesn't get paid. But when it comes to Torah, that's not it. It's all about all the efforts that's put into it, and that's a shevach of Torah. And that's the same idea. If you look in, I believe the Chafetz Chaim says right at the beginning, the idea is that fundamentally there is nothing else where we get really rewarded for our extreme efforts. Now on to a couple of Meshech Chochmas. In Chaf Vav Chaf Dalet, we see by Yitzchak, it says, Al tiraki itcha anochi, vihirbesi es zaracha ba'avur Avraham avti. So I will make you have lots of children because Avram, who was my Eved. Now, Rav Meir Simcha notes that in many instances, Avram Avinu is not called Avdi, but he's called Ohavai. Because, and this is the way that it's done the first time that Yitzchak is referred to, it has a statement from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Chaf Vav Hey, he's referred to as Ohavai, and here he's called Avdi. Why is that? So, says Rav Meir Simcha, this is to show that Avram Avinu did korbanos. He built mizbechos in base El, which is all the way back in Perek Chav Beis Hey Ches. And in Elonei Mamre, in Zion, you can see all of these things. And now, by Yitzchak, he hasn't made a Mizbeach. And he hasn't done the Avodas Karbonos. And the Avodas Karbonos is the Avoda, right? So here, Hashem is referring to Yitzchak, giving a little hint. Avram was Avdi. He did my Avoda, but you haven't yet. And therefore, Yitzchak understood what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him. And very shortly thereafter, in the next pasuk, he made the Mizbeach. Okay? And Rav Meir Simcha adds the word Vehavein and understand this. And this means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself differently before and after he builds a Mizbeach, because that makes that very important connection between the two of them. On that very same vein, in the very next pasuk, Chav Vav Chav Hey, we see that Yitzchak gets the message, and he builds a Mizbeach. And Rav Meir Simcha explains what's the idea of a Mizbeach. Says the idea of building a Mizbeach is to publicize a prophecy or a miracle, because that's why you're building a Mizbeach. That's why they call the Mizbeach Hashem Nisi in Yud Zayin Tesvav, Hashem Shilem in Shoftim Vav Chav Dalet and others, meaning to say, I am publicizing something that Hashem had done. So here, in the first vision that Yitzchak has, that Yitzchak was going to inherit, his family was going to inherit all of this land, there's no Mizbeach. Why? Because Yitzchak was afraid regarding the locals in the land. Maybe they will get upset and jealous with him. And Yitzchak was not much of a fighter at that point. And moreover, it wasn't really, it wasn't great mussar, it wasn't great discipline, it wasn't great derech eretz, because he had a good relationship with them, and for him to posture himself to inherit their land wouldn't be kind or appropriate. Therefore, he did not publicize this vision, and he didn't build the Mizbeach. However, with this respect to the second vision that he had, that didn't say anything about him inheriting their land, it just said, do not fear and I'll give you a bracha, Yitzchak was ready to build that Mizbeach and publicize that vision. That's why it says, we see that Hashem is with you after that, because that's about the revelation of Hashem to him, and that is that idea. There is so much more to say, and there's good kashas this week also, but I feel like I should stop here as we're at 16 minutes. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos, and one of our listeners, Daniel, had a baby boy, so mazel tov to him for his new addition to his family. Should be a brisbi to his mano.